Hello everyone and welcome to the Star Wars Report. I'm so glad you tuned in. This is episode zero. I guess we could call this our pilot episode. For those of you, most of you tuning in are probably very familiar with our work on Solo Sound and the Bothan Report, the previous incarnation of our show. But I am very excited to be here with the triumphant, and emphasis being try there. I have two of my co-hosts here. Once again, my dear sister's back. Bethany, welcome to the debut episode of the Star Wars Report.
Oh, well, thank you. Rocking out to this new music, and welcome, our friend.
That's right, and he is our friend. He's been our EU correspondent. He's been the defender of the EU. I'm struggling there, kind of choking on my own words. I just get choked up when I talk about him. Mr. Mark Herleman, the third wheel and third co-host of the Star Wars Report. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Glad to be here. The Star Wars Report is in action.
Yes, Glad to have you. We are live, and this being episode zero, is not going to be a regular show. We're not going to be talking about any news, none of that stuff. We're actually just going to be interviewing each other, actually. So that's code for we have no show prep. So, yeah, here we go.
No news is good news today. Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're each going to ask each other three questions about anything regarding Star Wars or Star Wars fandom. And I guess what we'll go ahead and do, guys, is I'll ask Mark three questions. Mark will ask Bethany three questions, and then Bethany will round us out with asking me three questions, and we'll kind of do some commentary and back and forth as we go to talk about our Star Wars fandom and whatever shenanigans we come up with in this episode. So without further ado, I'd like to ask Mark, why Star Wars? That's not an open-ended question at all, but more specifically, I guess, why and how did you fall screaming into the Sarlacc pit of Star Wars fandom? Well, I mean, why aren't you a big Stargate fan right now, reading all the novels? What's the story there? Because I've never actually asked you this. I'm curious.
Well, in the words of Mark Hamill, I'm a sci-fi geek like my father before me, let's say. You know, my dad was big into the Star Trek. He had to do a graveyard shift, so I had to record all those TV shows.
Now, was this the original series?
It started there, went Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, you name it. I had to watch them all because he needed them recorded because he was how I am now with that. He has all the books. They're all now boxed up and waiting for me to inherit them someday. But, I mean, you name it. It got to a point where he finally had to pull the plug. There was just too many books coming out. There was no continuity. And, you know, I jokingly say that I got into Star Wars rebelling and in spite of him, you know, just tongue in cheek. But it's funny because it's his mom that showed me Star Wars for the first time. So it's kind of like, she must have been planting some seeds of rebellion. I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah, that's very interesting. So of all the franchises, Star Trek really got you into that. Now, I'm curious, would this have been, in reruns, the original Star Trek series? Am I right?
Yeah, it would have been reruns for me, yeah. He caught it when he was a younger kid, and so he was hooked from, you know, his youth. And when they started syndicating it and having the reruns and stuff, he was able to catch up all the old stuff he'd missed. And then when the Next Generation came out, you know, keep in mind, I lived on a hill with no power, so we only had two stations. So it was like, I remember watching Star Trek, but it was like, you know, what most kids are trying to watch X-rated movies late at night, and it's all staticky, you can't see anything. That was watching Star Trek. You're like, had no appreciation for what was going on with the ships and all that cool stuff because you could barely see it. You would hear it fine, but you could barely see what was going on. So I remember, like, when I first seen the Star Wars movie, it was on my grandma's nice TV. She had cable. You know, I was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. And then I'd watch the Star Trek stuff and I was like, oh wow, this is pretty cool too. You know, I was like, this isn't what I remember seeing on TV at all. You know,
see, we were kids and holding up the rabbit ears. I kid you not. I would be sitting in the family bedroom, which was the only place the TV was at the time. And I would, like 9 years old, 10 years old at this time, I was the assigned a rabbit ear holder, and I would cradle it like it was some kind of idol, and hold it up at just the perfect. All right, no, little, up, freeze. And
left,
I would stand
left,
there,
no, right.
And then collapse during every commercial break. I would collapse because we only for a few years there we didn't have any kind of TV reception other than getting some local Chattanooga stations, and we're good like 30 miles north of there, so. I can kind of sympathize with you a little bit there. With us, it was the Andy Griffith Show. I remember that.
Yeah. See, I wasn't even that lucky. I had to go out about 20 feet from the house and turn one of those big antennas. You know, the wind would blow it. I had to go out and change it. I'd be out there in the cold, shivering, raining on me. Can you see Picard?
So did your dad ever ask you, so Mark, you'll freeze before you reach the third marker?
No. And that's the funny thing. Like, life's about circles. I would say I'm getting my dad back into Star Wars, and that's the funnest part is he's read all my books. I mean, you know, this big library behind me, he's read them all. He's waiting for me to finish with the new one so he can read them. So, you know, I mean, in that regard, I'm able to share the passion again because, you know, he shared some of the books that were his favorites with me of Star Trek. And I recall one of them with Kirk. I think it was like something like Rise of the Phoenix or something like that, where Kirk is cloned in like every aspect, but in the end they take and make the cloned version of him a Romulan one. It had a sequel too, and he had me read both of them. It was a pretty good book, but it was one of those weird things when you're stepping into Star Trek books and the way they do continuity. Yeah. But, you know, I remember when I'd watch the two shows, and I always liked Star Wars' concept on space travel and the ships, and I loved their small jet fighters and the starfighters, and Star Trek didn't really have that for the longest time. You know, they had the shuttlecraft. That was like it.
Yeah.
And I remember how is that going to work? You know, and I just kept thinking, you know, oh man, that's what Star Trek needs is to utilize what Star Wars has with all the dogfights and stuff like that. And I remember playing the Star Trek Mirror Universe game, and they finally had a game that was like it. It's like, finally, they finally went there. But, I just remember taking micro machines and having those, and when they finally started having the Star Wars ones, being so tickled because I had the Star Trek ones, and I remember just like doing that where you'd hold them up and like at a distance from each other to kind of get the same feel for what they were, and then all of a sudden somebody on YouTube had a video of Star Wars versus Star Trek, and they had it right. You know, Star Destroyers come in, they start blowing up Deep Space Nine, everything's blasting. I was just gonna hate it. I'm like, hey, Dad, you gotta go check this video out. This is awesome.
Yeah. Well, if I could go ahead and follow up, then my question number two, which I just changed because of the turn of the conversation, what would you say being exposed to the not the competing, but really the alternate sci-fi franchise, Star Trek? What would you say is the main difference between the two franchises when it comes to continuity specifically and the way the two different franchises handle continuity?
Well, that depends on if we're talking books or the movie.
Well, both. Just like as a franchise, not really, you know, okay. I'm not talking George Lucas or Gene Roddenberry here or anything like that. Just, you know, as a larger franchise, like which one's been more successful in terms of the way they handle continuity and other aspects like that?
I would say, hands down, Star Wars has been more successful. And I say that in the aspect of they've always gone out of their way to try to keep their continuity flowing as best they can. I mean, to the point where we've got the cursed levels of continuity under the holocron, and you've got your tears and all that craziness.
Yeah, yeah.
But Star Trek, though, you know, their books were kind of like a reset every single time. And I didn't quite get that at first when I was reading them. You know, as I got older, I was like, wait a minute, that already happened kind of thing, or so-and-so is already dead kind of thing. You know, and that was the difficult part with the Star Trek books, and they figured this out down the road. And when they did, their books got good. There was a series, Greater Than the Sum, Death Before Dishonor. A lot of these books that followed in a kind of like what the New Jedi Order did, but with the Borg. And that was a pretty good series, but it got to the point where the Borg had gotten so big, bad, powerful. They're in the Alpha Quadrant. They've almost wiped out Earth 5 times now. Each time they've gotten even closer. They had to do something with them, so they evolved them into like a near godlike race. And then all of a sudden, Star Trek was left in Star Wars type rebellion. You know, kind of like what A New Hope was. You know, just in shambles in a sense.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of like, it was obvious why they went with the new movie the way they did, because the books kind of left him in a position where there wasn't really much to talk about aside from the Bantam era of Star Wars where everything's being rebuilt. And so, you know, then you had that flashback, which is one of the things that Star Trek has always done well, is the time travel things, which works for itself. Whereas Star Wars has got the mystical field and everything like that, with things that can't be explained and magic and things like that, that you can get away with. And so it's, you know, interesting in those regards of how the two play off. And that's where the major difference is in is your movies in Star Trek is because they really use the time travel to get around a lot of things, you know, like with your new one right now, it's like a sequel, prequel, you know, retelling, redo, all wrapped up.
Yeah,
because they've managed to keep the original timeline. It had to exist for this movie to happen, for the characters to go back in time. You still have old Spock. He's melded 100 times with all these characters from the original timeline, all these movies. So that had to have happened for this movie to have taken place. And because he still exists, there are those memories. Well, he melds with a young Kirk, so young Kirk has these memories. You've got the young Spock melds with one of the Romulans from the future, so you have the Romulan point of view all captured. I mean, so it's classic in this regard for me at a total geek standpoint. It's like, I thought it was great. It was like they were able to reset the franchise while keeping everything, while still having a point to jump in later to fix everything with young Kirk, young Spock, old Spock going, we got to fix everything now and travel back a la, what is it, Star Trek 3, where they went back in time and fixed it. I mean, I could see potential there.
Yeah,
and I love it the most because J.J. Abrams was like, how can we make this like Star Wars?
Yeah, and he said that openly in interviews, and some Trek fans got really upset at him, too. But, the Star Trek reboot is a very good example of a creative way to deal in a universe that is very saturated in storytelling. And I'm no huge Star Trek authoritarian know-it-all or anything, but I do know, kind of observing from the outside, what J.J. Abrams did reinvigorated not only the whole base of Star Trek fans, but it really introduced a new set of people into Star Wars. I mean, I know some middle schoolers that I won't name on air, but I mean, I know kids who would be really interested in the 2009 film. They're not going to watch the original series. That's corny and cheesy. And of course, that would be sacrilege to some, probably to your dad, if a kid walked up and told him that. But which brings me to my third and final question, and that is, kind of keeping the idea of how the franchises have worked and kind of keeping with our theme of comparison, where do you see your personal fandom in Star Wars going in the future, especially in regards to where the Star Wars franchise is going in the future? Do you see yourself continuing along your sort of present day EU comics and books type of guy, or do you think you'll evolve and be getting into this live action series that still may or may not happen, or as the Clone Wars continues, where do you see your personal fandom in the not only the near future but perhaps the long term?
You know, as a long term fan, that's something that you think about a lot, especially with the price of everything in life going up, you know, from milk to gas, you know, you name it, the cost of your benefits at work. I mean, everything chips in. And so when your comics go from $2.99 to $3.50 and stuff like that, you know, you weigh these kind of things. But for me, I'm just a hardcore fan, and I don't see myself getting out of it anytime soon. I do see a shift. You know, keep in mind, I was into the books long before I got into the comics again. I say again because I was a big Spider-Man fan. I was a big Marvel fan.
Yeah.
So getting back into comics for me through Star Wars, I've gotten back into Marvel. I started collecting the Avengers and the Mighty Avengers and other, you know, Marvel lines, and I'm back into Spider-Man again. All cursed you, Star Wars. You got me back into another addiction. So I'm constantly weighing, you know, these things. But I do notice that when it comes to my personal fandom, I've been reading the comics a lot faster than I am the books. And that's mainly the timing right now. I mean, I've got a lot of scouting things, you know, the podcasting and, you know, just researching up what's new on Star Wars and conversing with the different fan communities and things like that makes it hard sometimes to sit down and crank through the books. But the comics are always so small, it's easy to do. It just seems easier to justify. And so I'm able to really maintain those. Like right now, I'm still working on Knight Errant. I'm down to the last 100 pages, and I'll probably be done with it by the end of this week. And it's not that it's not a bad book. It's an excellent book. I'm just having a hard time finding time to stick down and read like a whole chapter at a time. If I read a few pages at a time, I find I don't enjoy the books as well. And that's not fair to the book when it's my outside life that's causing me to read it slowly. And so I'm finding that's something I keep looking at. It's like, man, is it the book or is it just my reading? And so I'm trying to find more time to commit to my books because the last few books haven't felt as good as they could have been. And when I think about it, it's not the book's fault. It's just my reading. And then as I'm like placing, it's like, I had to go back a chapter or two and reread and catch up. So, yeah. You know, I see myself being in the same spot. I just might not be as up to date as I would like to be on the books.
Yeah, I hear you.
Live action, man, I am itching for it. I can't wait. The sad thing with the Clone Wars is that I haven't got the DVDs yet. You know, that was the thing with the first two Clone Wars series. I didn't watch them on TV. I never caught Cartoon Network. I never caught them on time, and I hate seeing things out of order. So I bought them on DVD. Well, these ones, I just haven't had the chance to spend the $45, and they haven't dropped down enough for me to be able to snag them. So
yeah.
I'm waiting. But I can't wait for that live action, man. That's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah, especially if it goes to network. I would love to see that go to NBC or Fox or someone to really get some mainstream. And I bet they'd take it, yeah. Well, I'll let you go ahead and continue on with your segment. Mr. Herleman, become the Larry King that you truly know you are and begin the interview with Bethany with your three questions.
Bethany Blanton, I for you a question have.
Okay.
What draws you to Star Wars the most?
The most.
Mm.
The most. Oh, and that doesn't have to be one the most. I mean, that could be
You saved me by giving me that option. Yes. I guess one thing that drew me to Star Wars the most was the movies, to begin with, certainly. They taught me a lot. I loved lightsaber battles in them, and I really liked the classic good versus evil overarching theme of the stories overall. I really loved Princess Leia as a little girl and looked up to her as kind of a role model. She and Luke really inspired me, and I liked that because me and Riley have always sort of been like best friends. So, and people would often mistake us for being twins, particularly when we were little. So I kind of drew that comparison. So we would often play at Luke and Leia. Of course, I had to switch roles sometimes because I had to fight him with a lightsaber, and Leia didn't have a lightsaber in the movie, so...
And this is why, ladies and gentlemen, she reads the EU now.
My love of Star Wars continued when I discovered the Young Jedi Knights. Yes, folks, I hear some of you groaning as we speak.
Yeah. Not I. I will not groan. I mean, granted, I've heard people, and I will admit, I see where they're groaning.
Oh,
but
yes.
I thoroughly enjoyed the books. I like Zek as a character above all.
Oh, yes. So I read these books as a youngish teen, and I really liked them. I knew that they were a bit cheesy in ways, but again, I really liked the family aspect in those books and the friendship that Jason and Jaina had with everyone at the academy, like Tennel Kah, Zek, and all of the others. And I liked Tennel Kah quite a bit too, because here is a tough girl who had a lightsaber. So
yeah, that was a great
character. Cheat and get no prosthetic arm.
That always surprised me. I honestly thought during the New Jedi Order she'd have gone, you know, the route just to irritate him.
Yeah. That surprised me too. I was actually quite stricken. I was like, well, she can get a new arm. She can get a new arm. And then she didn't get the new arm. And it just bugged me for days. I also liked, again, the Jaina and Jason thing reminded me of my own life. Basically, wherever I looked, whether it was in the movies or the Young Jedi Knights at the time, Star Wars really paralleled me and my life and what was going on in it. But it also served as an example of how I could be a better person and try harder at things. These people were so like me in some ways and had life circumstances, I mean, minus the Force and all, that were quite similar family-wise, that I saw in them behaviors, attitudes that I could emulate and become better with myself.
Nice. Yeah, I can relate to that feeling in reading good books and stuff like that. For me, Karan Horn's the character I always relate to the most. It seems like his reactions were always my natural ones. You know, you bring up that series, and I would not be adverse, and I think you probably agree with me here. If you read the Young Jedi Knights and the Junior Jedi Knights, you find out that Anakin's takes place before the other, but yet Anakin's refers to Jason and Jaina already being there. So there's room for another story there. Wouldn't that just be great?
I guess my fandom continues mainly because of the Star Wars fan community. I still really like the movies, and I discovered the EU mainly through the Young Jedi Knights, and still really like it. I have a lot of books that I'd like to catch up reading on, though. And I've enjoyed a few of the video games and have hardly ever read a comic. Don't kill me for it.
That's okay. But, I'm the one to share them for you. I'll open you into a whole new world.
But I
you mentioned Twitter. You want to throw out your Twitter name there? Because, yeah, you are very active with other fans and stuff. I've been following some conversations from your Twitter account, especially, that cracking me up. I mean, just the other day we had a EUCantina.net. Elise had put up a review on Conviction, and the comments between you and Nancy and some other people out there were just cracking me up. It was great.
Yeah, yeah, well, you can follow, I'll tell the folks, yeah, follow Bethany at Aelinwen, which is A-E-L-I-N-W-E-N. Yes, I was looking that on the screen. That is still not committed to memory.
Okay, so I have a quick question for you guys. Do either of you remember what that means?
It's Elvish.
Mark?
Oh, I want to say it's the name of one of the boats that went across the way, but I'm probably completely wrong there. and that's shameful on my end, because before my dad got into Star Trek, he was a big Lord of the Rings. That's how my parents met.
Okay.
Shame on me.
Well, if any of you are familiar with Arthurian legends like King Arthur, you are familiar with the Lady of the Lake. So this is Elvish for Lady of the Lake. Sort of a combination of different likes of mine.
And see, my Twitter account is at the Riley Guy. That's just, I'm feeling really, really uneducated right now. Although people get...
Riley Guy rocks, man. Don't mess with the Riley Guy.
Yeah.
And while we're at it, you can follow Mark at Illogical Rogue, too. Why not?
Now, my next question is along the same lines, but you know me. I'm the defender of the EU. So I gotta ask, what elements of the expanded universe do you most enjoy? And that, again, you can be as open as you want, from books that have good plots to characters to items, ships, you name it. I mean, what is it about the EU itself that you just dig?
Typically, it's quality. To me, quality means a good story and a good continuing of the character's story. I like it when the books make me think that I'm hearing John Williams' music in the background, and I really enjoy following different characters and what they've become and what they're like. I like getting the feeling that an author spent a whole lot of time writing the book, and really, if it's well written as well. I particularly like books such as most of Karen Travis's books, and I've enjoyed some of The Fate of the Jedi, others not quite as much. And I've been meaning to try to read the New Jedi Order series for a long time now, but I haven't started yet.
Well, you know me, I will recommend that one 1,000 times over. It's always one of my favorites. But I think that's also, with everybody, how you come into it. I mean, for me, as that series came out, I would reread it. So I think the more I read it, the more I started to like it.
When you ask me about the EU, do you include the video games into that?
Yes, I would include the video games. I would be official and exclude the Clone Wars, but I'm not going to this time. I'm going to go ahead and find out.
Okay. Well, I guess the continuing answer to that would be I've really enjoyed a small number of the Star Wars video games, the ones that I've played. I haven't played that many, but...
Well, then we got to segue into that. How many games and which titles, if you can, off the top of your head, because I'm just curious, because I try to play all of them goodness. But there's a lot of systems I don't have.
Battlefront 1 and 2, which that's a funny story, because at Battlefront 1, I almost always kill my brother. At Battlefront 2, he almost always kills me.
That must be the ability to run and the ability to duck, because that's the difference between the two. Game 1, you can lay all the way down. Great sniper position. Second one, you can do the run and jump thing, and you can't run in the first one. Oh.
Yeah, and I've played The Force Unleashed, which I really enjoyed. Funny story about that. I played The Force Unleashed and liked it a lot the first time. And, of course, maxed out my lightning as quickly as possible, which was so awesome. But I digress.
I'm just tickled to hear you say that, because I always do that. So to know that a female fan does the same thing, that's awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, Riley's familiar.
Unlimited power!
So while I may sound rather tame and reserved sometimes, just catch me playing a Star Wars video game with lightning in it, and you will change your mind.
Oh, by the way, Battlefront Marathon at Celebration 6. I'm calling it now.
Oh, we need to do
that.
That
would be fun. You know, I am so devastated. As soon as my Xbox, I get the internet, boom, they stop playing the Xbox Live for the old generation. Somebody's got to put a system out there where they can play. I missed that boat, man.
Too bad.
I think that I maintain that there is Celebration 6 coming somehow, and that if they ever announce it, that there's episode 7, 8, 9, and that there will be a next generation Battlefront. But sorry, yeah. I interrupt. Yes, continue with your last question, Mark. Sorry.
Well, I did want to say one more thing regarding his last question, and that is, I replayed The Force Unleashed after I broke my ankle really badly. I was actually bedridden or couldn't walk for about 9 months. And for this first couple of those months, I couldn't even read because the medication I had been on and continued to be on completely messed with my head. But
I've been there.
Yeah. So when I could, I picked up The Force Unleashed and I played it through from beginning to end and I killed everything in my path. And it was a really nice way to relieve some of my stress and anger that Riley was happy that the clones and the droids got it instead of him.
I'd hear these devastating and earth-shattering screams, and I would think, oh, it's the Force Unleashed, and then I realized it was actually Bethany at the controller, not Sam Witwer.
Nice.
Exaggerating.
Did you ever play KOTOR 1 or 2?
Yes, I played KOTOR 1 and absolutely loved it, and that's a game that I replayed after I broke my ankle as well. I was really grateful to have these games, and The Force Unleashed particularly to just relieve some stress and anger, and KOTOR 1 to replay because it was long and I played every single side mission, and so it kept me occupied for quite some time. As did, and I digress again, Star Trek the Original Series. I watched that while my ankle was still recovering.
And things come full circle.
Yes. I am actually finishing playing KOTOR 2, which I haven't picked back up in more than a month, but I like to finish that when I have time.
Now, that's going to bridge me into my next question. I'm going to change up mine. Where is your favorite, and we're going to call it era for when it comes to the EU, and saga for the films? Which is your favorite end of the Star Wars games? Not games themselves, but being in fandom and enjoying Star Wars in general. Which end of each, the movie, saga, and EU, do you like the most, and why?
Can I say, as far as movie time span, I like Star Wars Episode 3, 4, and 5. But that's more of just a movie favorite. As far as era, I'd have to say I liked the way the movies portrayed the Clone Wars era better than the way the original series portrayed that era. And you'll have to remind me of the names of the different eras.
The Rebellion?
Yeah, the Rebellion era. I really like the way the Rebellion era was portrayed in The Force Unleashed, for instance, but not so much in the movies. So for the movies, I'll stick with prequel trilogy as far as a better portrayal of the era. In the books, I've really enjoyed the New Republic era, and that would be namely Timothy Zahn's doing. Timothy Zahn was one thing that I came back into after I finished The Young Jedi Knights. The first book I read after that, my first serious Star Wars book, was Sacrifice, and I was like, who is this Mara Jade character? And now I'm incredibly sad that, spoiler alert, she's dead. So
yeah,
that book,
I made the mistake and had my wife read that one first.
I read that first and I really liked it, and it was really sad, and I really wanted to find out more about Mara Jade. So I started reading Timothy Zahn's books and absolutely loved them. I really like the Clone Wars TV show. They're all in the Clone Wars era. That would be another reason why the Clone Wars is one of my favorite eras, because it has the TV show. It has a number of books that I've read in the era, most of whose names I can't get correct. And it also has some of the prequel trilogy. If I had to pick one era overall, oh goodness, I tend to approach the Star Wars universe with a, what do I like? I like the movies, I like certain books, I like certain video games, I like certain TV shows, so I've never really thought about particular eras. I have a question for you, Sir Riley.
All right, here we go. Last three. Although,
strap in.
Actually, technically, if you get as many as Mark, you get about seven. So.
Okay, right. What are you most excited about in the future of Star Wars?
Live action series. I can answer very quickly on that one. Yeah, live action series without a doubt.
He's been sitting on that one.
Por qué?
Por qué, señor? I like the live action series. I don't know why I started next.
Stop doing your Spanish accent.
I like the idea of the live action series because I think it has by far the most potential. Not a whole lot is known other than we've got 50 hours. And the George Lucas news that came out where he said, yeah, we've got 15 hours. Seeing this unfold online, I love the mainstream news outlets because it came from 50 hours where you just like briefly mentioned 50 hours, but went on to say, well, that it was on the shelf, but they were still contemplating. I mean, we talked about it in the last episode of the Bothan Report, which you can find over on solosound.net. That last episode, you know, George Lucas mentioned in that whole interview, they briefly mentioned 50 hours and then went on to say it was on the shelf. They're still contemplating. It's not in production. Everybody took the 50 hours and assumed that 50 hours has been shot. And then about a few days later, I saw websites saying 2 seasons of the Star Wars live action series ready to air and looking for a partner for distribution.
Oh, wow.
I kid you not. I saw some of this and but no, yeah, to go back to your question, I'm most looking forward to the live action series because of the potential, because so little is known about it. I really think that there is some great ideas. I want to see bounty hunters hunting down Jedi hired by the Empire. You know what?
Ooh,
we were ships. Yeah,
we were
teased by this in episode five in The Empire Strikes Back, and just the idea of, you know, a world where there's crime infesting the galaxy and smugglers and bounty hunters, and I want to see the Empire hunting down Jedi. I know George has said in the past, you know, we're not going to see that, but
very similar to the Force Unleashed feel then.
Yeah, well, and I love the aesthetic of the Force Unleashed, and that only gets me more excited about it. I love the aesthetic of the Blue Harvest series, the Blue Heart. Did I call it the?
It's
you did.
What is the name? Help me out, Mark. Comic, Mr. Comic Man.
Dark Times.
Thank you.
Dark Times had Blue Harvest.
Blue Harvest
was
not the
arc that came out. So
that was like the first.
You're right there. You're literally at the last possible story.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to see Jedi in hiding, and I want to see the beginnings of the rebellion. And I think George Lucas, when he was originally inspired by Star Wars, he said this before, was inspired by the idea of old serials that you'd go to see on weekends at the theater when you'd go see Flash Gordon. And these screenings of the Clone Wars, while they've been small time, sort of, the idea of a theatrical serial presentation, the core fan community that hears about these and goes to these events really make it a lot of fun. That's kind of a separate issue, but I could see a live-action series doing yearly screenings of perhaps season finales or season openers or perhaps both, and people would go see that stuff in limited screenings. And so, yeah, with live-action series, I think there's so much potential, and I still remain very optimistic that it will be awesome.
You mentioned the fact about Lucas had talked about Jedi and how much you'd like to see Jedi hiding. And Lucas had mentioned how no Jedi would be in this show. But I believe me and you were talking before on even EUcast about how you could have Jedi in hiding and in an essence, in the way that they like to, you know, get and trick around words like Aurora Singh isn't going to be a Force sensitive anymore, you know, and yet she still is. I could see them doing that with the Jedi, you know, none of them actually taking up their lightsaber or anything, but they're on the run and hiding. I mean, they are still Jedi, but you won't see them as traditional Jedi.
It's sort of like Obi-Wan wasn't around doing Force maelstroms on Tatooine during the Dark Times. So I could see very much when George says, oh, there aren't going to be any Jedi. People take quotes way out of proportion. That may have been a passing comment, meaning that we're not going to see Jedi all over the place like Revenge of the Sith, and that wasn't going to be the main theme. Because an Obi-Wan in hiding is really not a Jedi. He's not doing Force jumps and epic stuff like that. It could still be awesome. And I mean, we could sit all day and speculate with casting ideas and all kinds of awesome stuff. But if I could kind of follow up to your question, if the live action series happens, I want it to be either very close to Revenge of the Sith in time frame or very close to A New Hope. I'm not as interested in the middle part there unless, you know, there's something unknown and awesome. But I really like when it comes to books, when it comes to fan fiction, when it comes with anything in the Star Wars universe, I personally prefer the stuff that's most closely connected to the films.
Mm-hmm. You just blew my mind. I'm literally slack-jawed. I never even thought about where they're going to place this.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's 20 years to work with.
Yeah. I really didn't think, I didn't do that math show. And I didn't think about which end they're going to just jump into. I need more information. Come on, George, throw us out an announcement.
Riley was just talking about maybe they'll have a 20-year show. Wouldn't that be great?
No. And then this podcast is released, and then websites are George Lucas doing 20-year show to beat Smallville's record. And I don't.
It was on the Star Wars report.
I don't remember. I don't know why I just became a World War II era announcer. George Lucas is coming in for the live action series. Okay, continue with your next question.
Question numero dos.
Oh, you're tempting me. You're
number
tempting
10.
Me.
And, nombre dos, señora. I forbid you to speak in a Spanish accent.
Sí, señora. Okay.
Shut up. How did you become a Star Wars fan and why?
Wow, that's some interesting questions. It's rather open-ended.
Back to the beginning.
How? I guess the how was because I saw it and liked it. I mean, it's very straightforward. Well, actually, I would say how was being exposed to it by my friends. I was playing plastic lightsabers with my friends, reenacting the scene from Count Dooku, from episode 2 with Count Dooku versus Yoda, and he was telling me the dialogue so that I could play the part of Yoda, since I was short back then, and I could play the part of Yoda, and he was like, and so then he would say, and now you say, now I completely blanked on the dialogue, but I would take all of Yoda's lines, and we would reenact that scene, or reenact the scene from episode 1, and this would have been back in the early 2000s, before I'd even seen a Star Wars film, before I'd, you know, read any books or anything like that, and so I would say that's really how I was exposed to it, by just the sheer cultural saturation that it has at this point. If you're a kid growing up in most circles, you can't have not heard about Star Wars. And really, I was fortunate enough to where the crowd I was growing up around thought it was cool. Because, I mean, when you're a kid, you're impressionable. I mean, it's very easy to impress ideas upon a youngster. And I think sometimes to get all philosophical here, let me get my pipe here. Yes. When you're a youngster, you're very impressionable. And no, people don't think about this all the time. But if you say something like, man, that, you know, the prequel sucked. And kids, if you're an 8-year-old kid, yeah, I just did the nerd slur, didn't I? apologies to offending anyone. But no, if you're an 8-year-old kid and you happen to like the pod race and think that that's cool, and you laugh your head off at the racer droids or Jar Jar Binks, and you think that's funny, and then someone tells you, you know, that's terrible. You don't get to like that. That's stupid. I edged in on the nerd voice again. That's just a shame to me, because I was fortunate to where when I was growing up in movies and books, whether it was the Chronicles of Narnia or Lord of the Rings or any form of medium of entertainment that I could learn from. Bethany mentioned earlier how she could relate to characters in the Young Jedi Knights and the films. I could relate to young Anakin, and I thought it was really pretty awesome that he got to be a Jedi. That's what I wanted to be. And so
episode 3, right? He's like, stop relating with him. I don't want to get on this track. I don't want to get on this path.
I guess that's the how, and the why is right up there. And I'm very fortunate to have been around people who really encouraged me when it came to any of these franchises, where I learned some really awesome lessons and continue to learn awesome lessons. And whenever I approach Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, Chronicles of Narnia, Harry Potter, Star Trek, you name it, if I am approaching any of this, I try to approach it from that. I hesitate to say kid-like innocence, because it's not innocence. It's a more pure way of looking at any of these entertainment franchises. And I really hesitate any time to say something is stupid or someone is stupid for liking it or any other names or pigeonholes that you want to throw people in. And so I, especially when it comes to some of these fan community things that we talk about, I really would hesitate, because think about, put yourself of when you were watching Star Wars and you were 7 years, 1977, you were watching Star Wars in theaters, what you thought. So if the kid is 7 years old watching The Phantom Menace, what if he likes it? What if you don't? I have big, big Griffin deal, as they say. So I'll get down off of my soapbox now and let Bethany continue with the interview. Yes.
Real quick, you know, sometimes you just got to put on that suspension of disbelief.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of movies out there that I hear, oh, that movie really sucks. And so when I hear that, I suspend my disbelief even more when I go into it. And I come away going, you know, it was a pretty good movie. I mean, aside from this, that, or the other thing, it was a really good movie. And
yeah,
it's, like I said, it's about how you look at things. And, you know, Riley, it's good when you're young and growing up to have that support of your friends kind of digging what you dig. Because, yeah, if you don't have that, man, it could kill your fandom.
Yeah.
Also, I beg to question if this is pure entertainment and it's there for us to spend time on for our entertainment portion of our day or week or month or whatever. Why are you spending time on something that you hate?
That's true.
Okay. Final question.
Final question.
Where do you think...
It's the final question.
Yeah. Where do you think the Star Wars universe is going? Where do you think Star Wars is going as a whole? We have the Clone Wars. We have the Expanded Universe. We have the 6 movies. We have a possible live-action series. We still have George Lucas. Hey, we have Katie Lucas and Dave Filoni and multiple authors and writers and illustrators. Where is this all headed?
Kind of real
headed?
World. Where's the franchise going?
Yeah, where is the franchise going? And how much longer, to add to that specifically with the Expanded Universe? Our heroes are getting old in the Expanded Universe. Where do you think the Expanded Universe will go? Do you think they will just stop writing books that continue the timeline that Luke and Leia and Han
are continuing in?
Or do you think they'll kill them all off in one big grand finale?
Yeah, let's get into the death of Luke Skywalker discussion. No, not going there.
Do you think they'll just start writing in the Old Republic?
Yeah, wow, that's the future of the Star Wars franchise. I think it's strong. I think that there is a great future for the Star Wars, mainly in the aspect of the Clone Wars and the upcoming live-action series. I think those are the strongest points, because the Expanded Universe, to me, personally, is exactly that, an expanded universe. You must have a strong core to expand from, or it will dissolve. So when I look at some of the more superfluous materials, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but materials that expand upon the root of Star Wars, you have to have the core root there. And right now, the most vibrant thing in Star Wars, if you go out on the streets and are asking kids especially, you know, what's happening in Star Wars these days, they're going to talk to you about the Clone Wars, about Ahsoka. And it's such a crazy time. Ask kids 4 years ago, 3 years ago, you know, people were wondering what on earth this Clone Wars thing was, and now it's really taken the mainstream minds, or the minds of the mainstream, I should say. So when it comes to the core of Star Wars, that's what I think the live action series will be. And I still think in the future sometime, in a brand new way and technological way of filming things, there will be more Star Wars films. Will it be a reboot? Will it be 7, 8, 9? Will it be an Old Republic film? Will it be on the big screen at all? Will it be a miniseries? There are so many possibilities, but we will see more Star Wars content on our screens, and hopefully on the big screens. And so when it comes to the future of the franchise, that's what I look at. I don't think the franchise will continue on paper. I mean, that won't be its strength, because not because there's not an audience, and not because people don't love the comics and books, but because those are what expand upon the core of Star Wars. A lot of people have said Star Wars has jumped the shark, and whether it's the prequels or the Clone Wars, or Return of the Jedi, for that matter, people will say that, you know, it's no longer relevant. People don't like it. I just don't think that's the case, because if you go out on the streets and you ask someone, hey, have you heard of Star Wars? Yeah, sure, I've heard of Star Wars. Have you seen those movies? Hey, what's happening in Star Wars right now? What's going on? And they'll say, well, have you heard of the Clone Wars? It's awesome. And I'm speaking of mostly kids at this point who would respond like this. I asked, and I'm guilty of this multiple times, where I'll pretend like I know nothing about Star Wars. I'm trying to get like a pull of someone else's opinion who has no idea who I am or what I do. And I'll be, so have you ever heard of a Star Wars or the Clone Wars? You like the Clone Wars? And one kid I asked, he's about 13 or 14, said, yeah, I love the weapons. It's awesome. And they talked about the chain guns and the black nice. Vibro sword that was carried in season two with the Mandalorians. And he's just way into the technology and that stuff. And
he could outdo both of us.
Yeah.
Weapons and technology in Star Wars.
The Blastech E-11 is pretty cool, but the DC-17, is awesome.
And he'll name off the specifications of all of them.
And I don't see it here, but somewhere up here I have, yeah, there it is over there. I have the Star Wars Guide to Weaponry, and this kid lent it to me.
Loaned it.
Loaned it. which is awesome. And I'm like, well, thanks. I'll have to take a look at this. Never seen some of these weapons.
I'm applauding this kid right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's awesome. The future of Star Wars is strong, and I do personally believe that future, in the immediate form, is the Clone Wars. In the slightly longer term, is in the live-action series, and the longer term after that is in the theater. Star Wars needs to come back to the theaters. It's as simple as that, and the Star Wars Report will be covering it. 2019. When it's, well, maybe I shouldn't go that far. But yeah, the future of Star Wars. The future is now. The future is on the big screen. Well, that's going to wrap up this episode of the Star Wars Report. Episode 0. The pilot of sorts. Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is going to be an awesome show, guys. I have a good feeling about this.
All right.
I love the enthusiasm.
I think we're still
everybody
slightly
just walked
in shock
out of the room.
Of your semi-singing here.
Oh, I'm on mute! Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on mute.
Oh, okay.
You terrify me, Mark, every time because I think you just want to do. He's gone. This stupid Star Wars Report thing's going nowhere. No.
That's what videos are integral. I can't wait to get them on.
See, we're watching each other on video, and I can see Mark, and he's like, his hands are up in the air, and he's all excited. I can't hear a thing.
Yeah.
So for the audio listeners, they know.
Yeah.
Look, Tom, I'm in a box. It's me in a box. I'm in a box.
Yep. And stay tuned after the credits for a little Easter egg.
Yeah. Stick around. We've got a little bonus. And all right, let's give out some of the brand new contact information. If you want to find out about this show, you can find an about page, blog posts, the Twitter accounts, links to everything we're about to talk about on our brand new website, StarWarsReport.com. Once again, that's StarWarsReport.com. There you'll find everything to do with the Star Wars Report. And hopefully an iTunes link. As soon as we finish this episode and submit it to the feed and get it out to iTunes, you guys will be able to go subscribe. So, yeah, as you hear this on Delayed Podcast, go ahead and head to the iTunes Store and search for the Star Wars Report and subscribe. Give us a like. That's Facebook. give us some ratings. Get us on the radar of those people that blow the app people over at Apple away. Same thing goes for Zune users. For you Microsoft users, go ahead and search for that. And hopefully we'll have all that up and going very soon. And like I say, if you want to find us on Facebook and actually like us, we're facebook.com/StarWarsReport. Or find us on Twitter, twitter.com/StarWarsReport. Or, of course, just at reply us at StarWarsReport. I'm noticing a theme here, a lot of Star Wars Report. We're on LinkedIn, but no, we're not. Should we get the LinkedIn or MySpace? Probably not. No. That's a thing of the past. We're of the future here at the Star Wars Report. So,
new lastly, and shiny.
Send us an email.
Keep it safe.
Yeah, keep it simple. Keep it secret.
But definitely not secret.
Yeah. And send us an email. Tell us what you thought of this debut episode. Tell us what you would like to hear from the future of the show. And your thoughts on anything we just talked about, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. Once again, that's StarWarsReport@gmail.com.
StarWarsReport@gmail.com. The future is now.
Thank you. I'm choking up just because I'm so emotional here. That's going to do it for this episode of the Star Wars Report. Look for us on a bi-weekly schedule. By the way, speaking of announcements, that's called burying the lead. We're going to try to get one of these things out every 2 weeks. And so we'll be covering all the Star Wars news, and we'll be getting on a more regular schedule. Stay updated on the social networks to find out what we're doing. I'm out of here. That's it for this episode for the Star Wars Report. This has been Riley.
And Bethany.
And Mark.
And we're saying, may the Force be with you always. All right, we're out of here, guys. That's going to do it.
Many Bothans died to bring this report.